Good morning. Joining us on the line now is Jamie McDonald. He's a Scottish comedian, writer and voiceover artist who found himself rapidly going blind in his teens. In 2017, Jamie was named on the BBC New Talent Hot List, as well as reaching the semi-final of the BBC New Comedy Award. He's hosting a brand new comedy series on BBC Radio 4 called Life on the Blink. It shows how Jamie used humour to turn denial into acceptance and managed to laugh himself all the way to the top of the bill at comedy clubs around the country. Welcome to the show, Jamie.
What a glittering career, hey?
You sound all right, don't you?
Lovely to hear that said back to me there. Look, my head's just grown three times.
Brilliant. It's great to have you on the show. Thanks for joining us.
And, pleasure.
And I think it's a real skill, amazing, to be able to use humour in the way that you do, to be able to laugh at things that, well, quite frankly, aren't necessarily that funny. You know, what's happened to you as what happened in your teens must have been so traumatic.
Nah, you know, as I say, it's a brilliant time to be disabled at the moment, if you get the chance, you know. It's, I mean, for me, there's two ways you can go when you've got a kind of prognosis. You can kind of really kind of maybe dwell on it and make yourself a wee bit unhappy, or you can realise that, I mean, I was walking in the park recently and I got stuck in the bushes. I got lost. I ended up in the bushes. I looked like a creepy weirdo. And this chap ran over shouting, like, at me. I think he was ready to have it out with me. And I turned round, he saw the white stick, stopped in his tracks, went, "Oh, sorry, I didn't see the stick. I thought you were a pervert." But then just ran off and left me. You know? Like, so, you know, that kind of stuff happens all the time. And I find it hilarious.
Yeah, brilliant. I mean, it's, you could, as you say, you could be upset about things like that. I mean, you really could. And some people would.
But why? Who does that help? You know. So if you're sitting and you've got a problem, it's nobody's fault about my eyesight. You know, it's just a random thing that happens to me. It's not the best. But I mean, I would not be a comedian if I didn't have bad eyesight. I'd probably remain as a banker and be this grey little middle management man. But now, you know, I do interesting things. There's kind of TV projects, there's radio projects. I love getting up on stage and because a lot of people say, "Do you go up to try and spread the word about blindness?" It's like, no, I go up to make a room full of people to entertain them and to make them laugh. And if they see some of their behaviours in my material, then that's fantastic.
Yeah. And what was it like to have to, the fact that you weren't born blind or anything, you could see perfectly well when you were a kid growing up and then just kind of lost your sight in your teens. So you've had experiences of being able to see and now not. I mean, how that must be really difficult.
It depends who you speak to. So you speak to the guys who were born blind, they say, "Oh, it's much better being born blind. You know, you don't know the loss." But then you speak to me, like, the ones that have lost the sight. And I do appreciate the sight that I had, because, like, the world visually does make sense to me. I know what... I can't imagine what it's like not to know what red is, you know? So I do appreciate what I had, and it's given me the kind of, I can now go forward and, you know, I can make light of things and visually paint them for audiences, because I know what they look like.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. So when you go about putting your set together and writing material then, how do you do it? How do you put it together? And do you have any help with it?
Just panic, pressure and deadlines like anyone else, you know. So you've got, it's a wee bit different now because of the pandemic, but, you know, before I lived quite close to a couple of comedy clubs. I would put maybe 10 minutes, 15 minute bits together, and then at the kind of, what would normally happen, it would culminate in a fringe show in Edinburgh. And that would be my year, you know. Then I'd tour that show and then go back to the drawing board and start again. Because I think you've always got to refresh your material, you know. So you've always got to write more and more stuff. And it's not an hour of blind. I mean, the Radio 4 show is, because it's all about degenerative. It's all about the kind of four stages of losing sight. But there is other stuff in there. I'm not a one trick pony. I would say maybe a one and a half, two trick pony.
But can you see a little bit, or is it completely gone?
I can see a little bit. So I know he's probably somebody shouting at the radio, "Well, you're a cheating liar then."
But no.
No, I've got like a tiny little bit of kind of light and dark, and then if I kind of know where something is, I can then recognise it. It's a weird thing. I kind of can see retrospectively a little bit if I've got the kind of right mobility training. But yeah, I just get about with the stick and the goodwill of people.
Yeah. But in terms of writing material, I mean, presumably you can't actually write material because you can't read it.
Well, you see, I use computers, so yeah, so I mean, there's very good speech software now, so I just use Word, and you know, I type a document and it reads it back to me like kind of Stephen Hawking's voice.
Brilliant.
And yeah, if a joke can make you laugh right out like that, then you know it's going to work.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So tell us about this Radio 4 series then, Life on the Blink. What can people expect from that?
Well, I mean, it's they can expect a good, it's a 15-minute slot, the 11 p.m. slot on BBC Radio 4, and it starts tonight, and it's 15 minutes times four of me talking about the kind of four stages. It really doesn't sound great when you say the four stages of losing my sight, but it is, I assure you, it's funny. It starts off by getting kind of embarrassment and denial. I mean, I say that I went from hating my eyes to grudgingly accepting them to ultimately enjoying them, which is the exact same journey I had with olives. So, and then we move on to like there's a point where for me that I'd gone from being kind of Jamie, the guy who could see, to just a blind guy, and I've kind of lost my identity somewhat with that, and I felt a wee bit lost. I was kind of in my mid-20s, kind of going on to my 30s, and that's when I ended up going into stand-up comedy, because like that, stand-up's full of weirdos, you know? So it was perfect home for me. So you could take ownership of your eyesight back and just talk about the crazy stuff that happens to blind people. Some of it has maybe got a little bit, you know, there's some stuff that maybe is quite raw that happens to disabled folk that I send up, and then there's just genuinely quite funny stuff, you know, that, you know, like kind of like getting lost in the bushes. I can't meet friends at traffic crossings anymore, because if they're late, somebody will walk me across the road whether I need it or not, you know, that kind of, yeah, you know, enforced help, you know, that kind of stuff that is just my day-to-day life. And I think it's to prove that I don't spend my life wishing I could see. You know, I get on with it. I find what I've got. I'm a very kind of lucky guy. I've got a lovely wife. I've got a lovely dog. I've got a great family and friends, you know. So there's just one deficiency that then I've just managed to turn around and monetize.
That's brilliant. And I'm interested to know how people do treat you in general. I mean, do people kind of see the white stick and, you know, give you a wide berth, give you plenty of space, that kind of thing? Or are people trying to help you all the time?
Well, I mean, I mean, the goodness of strangers is probably the reason I'm still alive. You know, people do tend to help me, and yeah, you do get a bit of patronising, but that when it's coming from a nice place, you know, so some people will help me. Maybe I don't need it, but you can tell they are genuinely trying to be helpful, and it's just coming across a bit wrong, and I find that hilarious.
What kind of thing?
So just like exactly that, you know. So you know, somebody's stopping you in the street, running up like quite hard to tell me my fly was down. It's like, okay, that's fine, right? I know you're doing that for a good place, but that's nothing to do with bad eyesight. That's just poor dressing, you know. All that kind of behaviour, I just send that up, because I also the people that I am sending up, I want them to find it funny. I'm not trying to be a, like, sneaky or snide and try and make people feel offended or bad about themselves. I just think it's funny.
Yeah. And there's lots of people who do get really offended by comedy. It's, you know, there's a lot of political correctness gone wrong, if you like, that happens these days, and people are offended on behalf of people who maybe aren't offended. Do you know what I mean?
I know exactly what you mean. there's a joke that I put in. It's in the second show, because I talk about positive representation in film and TV, and how it's gone kind of full circle from no representation in my day to a kind of ethnic and social revolution, which is fantastic. But there's people, the people that don't think it's gone far enough, they're now saying that able-bodied actors shouldn't play disabled characters. And the film that the example for this is Bryan Cranston in Upside, where he plays a quadriplegic billionaire.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as I say, in theory, that role should have gone to a quadriplegic actor. But in practice, I think Bryan Cranston would be more convincing as a quadriplegic character than a quadriplegic actor would be at the same character in the pre-accident flashbacks.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, so that's
a good point.
Yeah, so it's that kind of stuff. So people just have to get a life and just get a sense of humour about it.
Yeah,
and they also have the right to be offended, but being offended does not give you then the right to cancel the person who you feel has offended you.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's a balance. Like, it's just a case of, like, if you don't like me, don't listen to me.
Absolutely. Oh, absolutely. I don't know why there's this need for people to vocalise all their feelings all the time, especially when it's negative.
Oh, it's so negative and it's so vitriolic and it's just so puritanical, really. People can just... As long as you're not offending, like going out to absolutely offend or upset, I don't see the problem.
Yeah, it's difficult, isn't it, with comedy? Because maybe it's not most comedy, but a lot of comedy is sort of, dare I say, kind of taking the mickey out of things or people or whatever. You know, there's a lot of that goes on, which is why there's a lot of people that get offended by so many things. But if you took out all of those things from comedy, there wouldn't be an awful lot left, would there?
No, it's crazy. It's like, I mean, you can do a set of comedy and people will find, I mean, I touch wood, I've not had too many complaints, but you know, you have people that will, you know, they'll get complaints, but it's like, where's even the angle for offence there? I don't even get why that's offence. It's like, well, you wouldn't, because you don't know people with diabetes. It's like, what? Are you not diabetic? You know, like, it's quite mad, but I just, you know, it's a case of like, let them shout, you know, it's fine, you know, as long as they're not kind of impacting you, you know, you're not getting booked or something. I mean, if you're a total wronging, of which there are plenty, then that's fine, but, you know, like, the majority of people are out to entertain and to cast a bit of light on a situation that might be quite farcical, you know.
Yeah.
I talk about how... The government, they changed a benefit we were all disabled people were entitled to a few years ago, and every disabled person in Britain had to kind of go back to the councils and reprove they were still disabled by doing this mad test. And I say it was like a horrendous game show, you know, where you were kind of winning points for how disabled you were, you know, that kind of stuff. That needs to be sent up.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, well, good for you. If people want to hear the series on BBC Radio 4, as you said, it starts tonight, 11 o'clock at night. That's UK time, so midnight for us in Spain. And there's four episodes, you say?
Yep, four episodes, 15 minutes, called Life on the Blink.
Brilliant. Jamie McDonald, thanks so much for joining us. Great to chat with you.
Thank you very much, Hannah.